All right, Randy, I'm going to give you the old smile.
Yeah, you are. I still crashed me up, and you're giving the smile. Wes, you're giving me the smile without the goatee. What is that? Will you quit playing games with me?
I know. I had to shave it off. You know, that's the perils of having a CPAP. I cannot get a good seal with the big bushy goatee.
Well, okay. I know your health is important and all, and I love your brother, but the CPAP's got to go because I can't look at you without the goatee. That's just weird. So
I know. I look like a big five-year-old.
Yeah, well, I was going to say 4.5, but that's close enough.
You look, that's my IQ. Don't get them mixed up.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I've been accused of having having the mentality of a 12-year-old, which I felt like was probably giving myself 2 years more than I deserved. But
right. Okay.
I know you've been working out and following a big plan and just kicking butt and taking names. That's going well.
Yeah, and that's another reason I shaved the goatee. I have to, you know, get a pound in everywhere I can.
Well, that makes sense. So, I've been rocking and rolling. We're going to rack and stack, but I've been rocking and rolling, man. I've been busy. Did 2 or 3 Zooms today. I got interviewed for a couple of blogs that I'm doing, and then as soon as we're done at 3 o'clock today, I am going to be motoring northbound from Naples to Clearwater to have dinner on the water tonight with a couple of business associates. So, followed up by some morning meetings tomorrow. So big stuff going on, man.
Yeah. Well, lay low on the Dr. Peppers because that's going to make getting up hard. But we have got a powerhouse duo today, Randy.
Well, it's not just you and I. Did we invite somebody? No.
And nobody wants to listen to us.
That's true. They've already been gone if they weren't expecting somebody else. So yeah. Powerhouse duo, go ahead. You're doing well with that, and I interrupted.
We have got Jim and George today, and you are going to absolutely love these guys. They are two amazing guys I've been fortunate to know for a couple years and kind of follow, and I would definitely put them up into the category of influencer and then some.
Influencer 10x. Let's go with that. We think that sounds good.
I think that's a good
one. Is that enough? I mean, we can go 100.
I'd say 100.
Yeah. Okay, let's do that. I mean, fine. It's our show. We'll call them what we want.
That's right. That's right.
You have the button.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we just go ahead and get to the show?
Let's just, get. I'm getting bored with this already. So let's go.
All right.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Boom, there we are.
Hey, how are you?
Jim and George, I'll tell you what. You know, it's a good thing we don't go too much longer than that, because Wes and I... It's interesting. We find ourselves quite funny, only with each other, nobody else. But we've went to dinner before and cracked ourselves up, and just like for no apparent reason, it looks like two high school kids on a date. It's pretty embarrassing. But so welcome to Building Wins. We're glad to have you, my friends.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting us.
Oh, absolutely. This is gonna be fun. So a little introduction. Let's start out. Hey, George, you want to introduce Jim? Let's do it that way. What do you think?
All right, I will start out by asking Jim to introduce me.
All right, I'll do that.
Most difficult. He was looking for the most difficult guest, aren't you? Okay.
You know how quick I did it? There you go.
How I met George. Well, when I was building a network marketing company, my son was having a training session down in Tucson, and he calls me up and he says, "Hey, Dad, I got a guest coming in today. Would love to have you come down and meet him and kind of support our group." So we drove down, and I sat there, and I heard Jeff introduce him as, "I'd like to introduce you to the worst motivational speaker in the country." And I'm thinking, okay, all right, that's different. And George got up, and he started speaking, and I'm thinking, my God, this guy is really good. I mean, I'm wondering, where did Jeff find him? And, well, little did I know that for 10 years, George was a stand-up comic with Jerry Seinfeld and that whole group of comics who came up together. So he had that going for him. And then, all right, he did a routine called Joe Malarkey, America's Worst Motivational Speaker, which actually landed him into the Speakers Hall of Fame, which I think, Randy or George, I can correct me if I'm wrong, is less than 2% of all speakers, and the country are part of that group. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, my goodness gracious. Well, later found out he was on To Tell the Truth. He was on the cover of the LA Times, a feature article. And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, wouldn't I love to have a guy like that on my particular team? And I remember going up to George after after he did his routine and said, hey, George, if you ever need a partner, I'd love to partner with you. Unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever you want to look at it, he was doing fine without me. He did not need me, but we kept in touch for 10 years. And then I happened to see him at a meeting and he looks over to me and he says, I'm putting together a new program and you might be the perfect partner for me. Let's talk. So that's how we kind of get together. So,
wow. That's amazing. And Joe Malarkey, world's worst motivational speaker, that's got to get a lot of attention, right?
Well, there's more competition for that title. Just a lot of people don't even know they're in the running.
I can imagine. That's awesome.
The first time I saw Jim, he was on stage at a network marketing company event, and I was firmly ensconced at the back of the room where I always was at those kind of things because I always sucked at that type of business. And about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I hit a place in the Joe Malarkey show where I had done it for more than 20 years. And creatively, I'd hit the end. I just, it just didn't hold a lot of, its audiences still laugh, but I didn't.
No.
And so I thought, man, for the third act of my life, what would I want to talk about if I could talk about something that was actually important that might actually affect people and still do it in an entertaining fashion? And so I hit upon this idea after writing for a solid year. And I said, I want to answer this question because it was a personal issue for me. I said, how is it possible for smart, sharp people to be completely aware of a few simple things that if they did them on a regular basis would result in tremendous life improvements? And yet for some reason, they can't find the wherewithal to take that consistent action. And so I began to research consistency. And after a bit, then I thought, because I realized it breaks down into along the Pareto principle lines perfectly with the 80-20. And when I realized I was in the 80%, I thought what I need to kind of round out this program is somebody that's in the 20%. Someone whose consistency is just the way they live. And the first person I thought of was Jim. I mean, Jim started out, he was a paper boy in Miami, and he won this competition to go to, there's a World's Fair in Seattle, is that where it was?
Yeah, the World's Fair in Seattle.
Yeah, but he didn't, of course, because the first four people got to go to the World's Fair in Seattle, and Jim wanted to make sure that he was in way up there, and so he was number one. But then he found out that the fifth prize was to go to a Yankees game, and he was a Yankees fan. So in a shrewd negotiating style that is totally Jim, he was able to negotiate himself down from one to five.
Nice.
It was the same thing. I mean, he started a business, a $500 investment, and turned it into a $17 million a year company.
Nice.
I met him through network marketing. He was the distributor of the year of two different network marketing companies. And set a goal to retire by age 50 and beat that goal. And retirement for Jim just means he starts other businesses and other projects. Sure. And everything else. So it's been a really, really good partnership. Jim is in charge of consistency and I'm in charge of making bad jokes nobody understands.
Perfect. Perfect. I mean, it sounds like it was like almost destined to be.
Yeah.
It sounds like you and Wes, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Yeah. Yeah, you know, Wes and I work along the same way. Outside of that, he knows I'm going to say this, but he's a food thief, and I never fail to bring it up because if you ever hang with him, Wes, I promised I'd let this go someday, but I'm not going to. he stole my quesadilla one night, which is just beyond irritating to me. Still, as you can tell. I come from a genre or a time frame where would you like this last one? I would say typically, no, go. You go ahead. So I offered it out of kindness.
Sure.
Then he spears it and it's gone. And that was certainly not what I was expecting.
Well, so, see, in fairness, I grew up in a time of the Frito Bandito. So I've understood the long lineage of stealing Mexican food.
There you go. But he does understand one thing. I don't offer if there's any dessert. And I don't offer if there's a little bit left in the Dr. Pepper, which is my code word for Cabernet. Oh, I just dump it. We're not that. I don't offer that to anybody, including my wife. I mean, I have my limits to my niceness. But well, that's a great introduction. So it's interesting. Life on the road, George, as a comedian, had to be a blast, obviously. And Jim, all the success you've had. It's interesting because it sounds like, generally speaking, which is many times the case, two relatively different personalities or backgrounds came together, and obviously you're good friends. Obviously you're doing a lot of fun stuff together, and that's pretty cool. So just hats off to that. That's a neat thing. So you got involved in this consistency chain, and that's your business, teaching, writing, talking about how to be more consistent. So let's just delve into that for the rest of the show here. Why is it important? We've already established, probably, as you said, George, with your prelude there, is that 80% of people probably aren't very consistent. Right. What do we miss? Why is it important? I'm just throwing out a few ideas in my head. I really like you guys just tell us for the next maybe 20 minutes or something. Why in the world is that important? Why does it matter? How do we recognize it? What do we do about it outside of reading your books, obviously? I'm going to sit back and no Dr. Pepper, but I'll have some water.
Well, it's a funny thing because I think we all know it's important. You know, I mean, I don't think you would get an argument from anybody.
Right.
And it's the reason why when January 1 rolls around, you know, we have these resolutions that we're going to change our life beginning today. And the curious thing is we begin these changes on January 1 and virtually all of them are gone by February 8th.
Yeah.
That's the day resolutions die. And I wanted to know what happens in there, you know, because what we begin with enthusiasm and motivation and intention, and somewhere along the way we lose that. And some people don't, you know, and that was the whole thing I wanted to understand. I want to understand it for me. I could succeed in some areas of my life. Jim's the same way. Jim succeeded in more areas of life than most.
I was always curious how I could be successful in one area, yet so unsuccessful in another area. And I just chalked it up to people who just weren't motivated enough, or they weren't, I wanted it more for them than they wanted it for themselves. And that couldn't have been further from the truth, obviously.
No. So as we began to dig deeper, I hit across this really fascinating longitudinal study that ran over 50 years. And what they did is they took a 5-year-old kid, 300 5-year-olds. And by the way, any researcher, this was done at Stanford, any researcher that wrangles 300 5-year-olds right there to me, that's Nobel Prize material.
Exactly. Because
I have a 9-year-old granddaughter now. And if I babysit her for half a day, I'm in the hospital. So the thought of that, the most fascinating thing about my granddaughter is that I have no children. So figure that. My whole life is cut straight to dessert. But they got 300 5-year-olds and they put them in a room and they set them at a table and they put a marshmallow on the table. And the researcher said, listen, if you don't eat that marshmallow, I'm going to leave. And when I come back, that marshmallow is still there. You get a second marshmallow, a little marshmallow double or nothing. And any guesses on how many kids couldn't wait the 15 minutes and ate the marshmallow?
Oh, it's got to be incredible, I bet.
80%.
80%.
It's all everything.
Everything's 80%, isn't it?
The only two numbers I know are 80 and 20.
If you know 80 and 20, that's all you're probably need to know, right?
Yeah, that, darn close.
Yeah.
So what they did then is after it was a really cute little study on basically measuring the ability to delay gratification, which for our purposes is no different than the ability to act consistently. It's the same exact muscle. And so then they followed these kids through their lives, and they found out at teenage years, the kid, the 20% that didn't eat the marshmallow had higher GPA scores, higher SATs, were judged to be more socially advanced. Midlife, the 20% earned more, had more professional advancement, more educational attainment. They divorced less, they were healthier. And then the key, which is funny because I saw a lot of guys talk about this during my days in the speaking world, but nobody ever got to this last point. And that was they brought the people back, the test subjects back one more time. And they put them in a functional MRI machine. And a technician could look at the brain activity in one of two areas of the brain and tell you with 100% certainty whether or not that test subject did or did not eat the marshmallow 50 years prior.
Wow.
See, so
that's amazing.
When we're trying to deal with this and all the things Jim talked about, you know, like, well, he just didn't care as much. Well, he just didn't want it.
He's got the marshmallow. That's awesome.
He has every marshmallow he's ever earned, by the way. He is deep into marshmallow interest. But the way that we've tried to deal with this is basically a shame-based system. Well, you just didn't want it bad enough. Well, you're just lazy. You just didn't care enough. And the reality is none of that's true. When it was like network marketing for me, I cared. I wanted it. I just couldn't do it. And the reason why is I was making my decisions in a different part of the brain than Jim. Jim's decisions, you know, I mean, tell him, it's like if an incentive trip came up, Jim.
Well, you know, if they announce an incentive trip, let's say to Maui or wherever, I would be sitting in the audience. I'm thinking, okay, how can I win two trips? Or how can I win the airfare? How can I do that, right? And because I'm making the decision in a different part of my brain that tells me if I do this, then this will happen. And so as a result, I just did it. All right. And I would have sent you a card, George, believe me, from the beaches of Kapalua or something. I would have sent you a greeting card. So.
And I appreciate that. And that's the kind of guy you are.
Thank you very much.
But so Jim's making his decisions in the prefrontal cortex, which can look at the long-term implications of an action today and see that iterated over time and see where that leads. I was making my decisions in a much more primal part of the brain called the ventral striatum, that the decision matrix there is really simple. We call it the ESP filter. Is it easy? Is it safe? Is it pleasurable? So when I was looking at the same thing, I wanted to go to Maui. Who doesn't want to go to Maui?
Right.
I want to go to Maui. I want to have the respect of my peers and earn the income. I want all those things. But when Monday rolls around and it's time to take action and I've got to pick up the phone and I'm an introvert, and I know people don't understand how you can be a performer and an introvert, but trust me, there are many of us. When I look at picking up the phone, is it easy? Not for me. It is not easy. Is it safe? No. I could pick up the phone and I could be rejected. Right. I could have my feelings hurt.
Right.
No, it's not. Is it pleasurable? Did you hear the first two?
Exactly.
So I can be looking at the exact same situation as Jim with the exact same incentive, the exact same desires. And because I'm making a decision in a completely different part of my brain, I'm going to decide something completely different. And so what the whole consistency chain is about is we understand that the majority of people, 80% of the people, are making this decision in the part of the brain that is evaluating on easy, safe, and pleasurable. And we simply say, well, let's make it easy, safe, and pleasurable. Why are we trying to fight this? I mean, you want to know why New Year's resolutions end on February 8th. That's when we get so mentally exhausted from fighting our initial nature that we just finally say, well, the results really haven't shown up. What's the point in doing this? And I'm out. So instead, what we talk about is one of the ways that you make things easy is you forget about those long-term goals and dreams are awesome. But what is a goal? A goal is nothing but the embodiment of delayed gratification, which we've established I suck at. So why did I always miss goals? Well, go figure. So instead of setting a goal, we talk about setting a direction. say, okay, I want to be successful in this company. It can be as nebulous as that. When I started playing with this, I wanted to get, you know, there's been times in my life, I want to weigh 175 pounds on this day, you know? And I said, instead of that, what I said, I set what we call an ER goal. I said, I want to be healthier. I want to be fitter. I want to be stronger. And then I would go to the gym that day and I would come back from the gym and I could look in the mirror with complete credibility with myself and go, you know what, dude, you're fitter. You're stronger. You're healthier. And it felt good. I wasn't waiting for some far off event to confirm that I was a winner. No, I'm winning today. So what was I doing? I was harnessing my desire for short-term gratification in pursuit of long-term goals. And that's what we're talking about.
And that's just a strategy to give us a different way to measure success.
Yes.
That's all it is.
A measurement system that we can succeed with. And we succeed with it today.
Yeah.
So it sounds like this is a developed or born with situation, right? You're going to be one or the other. You're going to, you kind of born or the way you was brought up, you develop the characteristics of either the 80s or 20, right?
Right. Right.
So it sounds like,
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say with one caveat, We have neuroplasticity. We can rewire our brains.
Okay.
Okay. But the challenge from rewiring from the making decisions back here to making decisions up here is it takes time. You know, they talk about the process. If you keep doing the same thing over again, neurons that fire together, wire together, and you can actually change the neurological pathway in your brain where you're making the decision, but it doesn't happen instantly. And the challenge is the same February 8th phenomenon.
Right.
We can't stick with it long enough for that to happen.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leverage this part of the brain to get me in that direction repeatedly, day after day after day. It's like when I was working out, and I worked out 531 straight days, which I've never done anything that consistently in my life. No one more shocked than I. But about 6 months in, I hit a place where I woke up one morning, and the decision was no longer, am I going to work out? The decision was, what workout am I going to do? And I had officially moved my decision making from the ventral striatum to the prefrontal cortex. And now I'm making a decision that is a win-win. It doesn't matter what workout I choose as long as I'm working out. So that in answer to your question, yes, we do start out at least by age 5 with a predilection for one of these two areas of the brain making decisions. But we can change that.
You can change it. And it's interesting because so what you've done is you've taken – if you take the, in your case, you like the easy route. So you've taken the easy route and set the destination. And at some point, you didn't force yourself to just say, okay, I am now going to be Jim and be this Mr. Consistent. I'm just going to follow these steps every single day. And one day you just woke up and go, well, hey, I'm pretty consistent now, right?
Yeah.
And you got there the easy way because from what you're saying, and it sounds very right. If you'd have tried to force yourself to be Jim, you'd have failed by February 8th, right?
Yeah. And if I'd set my goal saying I want to work out 531 straight days, that's ridiculous. It's overpowering. It's overwhelming. It's so far out of my realm of experience that it's not even real. I'm not going to be able to sell it to myself that I'm going to be able to do it.
Right.
So what I said is I'm going to work out today. In fact, what I said is I'm going to work out today. And people would ask me, are you going to work out tomorrow? And I would say, no.
I'm just worried about today. You take one day at a time.
531 days. I never worked out tomorrow, ever, just today. And so I took the pressure of that whole thing off my back, and I celebrated each and every day with kind of awe and amazement. Like, I cannot believe this. And you see the calendar on the wall, and we have a phrase that we talk about that we could get into, but you see this, you graphically see that you're changing yourself and that you're succeeding, and you want to see that graphic just grow and grow and grow. Hmm. Jim said I got inducted into the Speaker Hall of Fame, which was fantastic, and I'm very appreciative. I don't even know where that award is. But I can tell you where these pieces of paper were, these 12 pieces of paper that represented the first year of my consistency chain. I can tell you where those are because I am prouder of those than I was of, you know, the trophy or award that I got.
Sure. So would it be fair to say, George and Jim, that in your case, George, the being the 80 percenter in this 80-20 rule, you are obviously – you're the destination guy. You're the journey guy.
Yep.
Jim's the destination guy because, like he said, whoa. A trip to Maui in a plane, in a room and board, and food, whatever it takes, right? I'll work 27 hours a day and there's only 24. I'm going to do what it takes right now. And I'm guessing that's the only motivation you needed, Jim, and anything that got in your way is getting pushed away because that was your motivation, right?
Absolutely. And that's
not waiting like you. Not waiting like George would, because that would drove you nuts to have, it's like, I want to be there tomorrow, like not 6 months from now, right? Yeah.
And that's why so many people fail. And we when we wrote the book, we've written two books, but the second one was The Consistency Chain for Network Marketing. And because it's a market that it's, oh, there you go, there's a picture.
There it is.
So many people fail in network marketing, and it's because we treat them, we treat everybody as a 20 percenter. Right. And I wished I'd had read this book when I first started my career, because I could have saved an awful lot of those people by showing them the path that an 80 percenter would take. They would have stayed with the program long enough to be successful.
Well, and that's one of the big challenge for people that are leaders. And we talk to sales leaders. The reason why you get to be a sales leader is because you were an all-star salesperson. Sure. What does that mean? Well, that means you were in the 20%. Almost invariably. And so the leadership trap is, this is how I do it. This is how I did it. Do it this way. You will succeed. And the trap is, that's true. If I did what Jim did, I would succeed. The trap is, I ain't Jim.
Right.
And because of that, Jim's system, no matter how beautiful and effective it is, and Jim, it's Jim's system. I look at that and I just want to puke. I'm like, you're kidding me. He sent this to me when we first started working on this. He had his thing and it was all color coded and it was wave productivities. It was all this. I'm like, there's not a chance. There ain't a snowball in a really hot place that I'm ever going to be able to do that. And even if I did, even if I, so say that Jim gives me 10 things, and he did too. He wrote a whole book.
You got 10 things to do on a daily basis to make you successful. When I show that to George, he looks at it and he goes, that's 9 too many.
And it is for me. I need to be able to focus on, get my focus really down. And the problem is, say that I went through his 10 and I found the one that's the key. The one that's really going to move the needle. And I did it that day. And I wrote it down on my little hard piece of paper like he's got. And then I hold it up. And you know what the rest of the page is? Blank. Now, how do I feel about that day? Do I feel good about that day because I did the most important thing? Or do I feel like I suck because the rest of the page is blank? Here's the stuff that I did do is overwhelmed by the stuff that I didn't do.
Right.
And so what are the odds I'm going to show up the next day to get that feeling again?
Exactly, because back to the 80 percentile people can't tolerate that feeling, right?
No.
That you will do almost anything to avoid that feeling.
Yeah. It's not pleasurable. You know, it gets when you complete the, see, the thing is like working out, you say, well, working out's not pleasurable. Many times the pleasure element comes from having done it.
Right.
So I would come back from a workout that was not pleasurable, but I could look in the mirror and feel pleasure. Mm-hmm. But if I set up a system like this where I do the important thing, but then I look at it and I don't feel pleasure in it, I'm out.
Right. So Jim, your take on at 5 years old, you were a 20 percenter, obviously. You maybe not didn't know it yet, but you were. Right. I want to, and with you an 80 percenter, there's an interesting thing because you're so successful together, but yet so apart when it comes to that way of doing things. That's which I think makes this work. But you hit on something earlier. You talked about business leaders or sales leaders. And it's the same thing as coaching, right? The successful coaches in name a sport, doesn't matter.
Baseball.
If you're going to be a manager in baseball and be successful, you treat each player fairly, but you do have to treat them differently, right? Because each 20, you know, the 37 guys or whatever it is on that Major League Baseball team, every single one of them have different personalities and different, they fall different places on that spectrum, right? So if you treat them all as 80 percenters, you're going to lose or not be as successful with the 20 percenters who may have huge opportunities or vice versa, right? But you just coached them wrong. You managed them wrong, right?
Yeah. George says that when we go to speak to an event, I speak to the first three rows of the audience. He speaks to everybody in the back. And that is so true.
That makes sense. Yeah. The 20 percenters are going to set up front. They want to be involved. They want to be part of it. They want to be ready. That's right. They want to be called on by you.
Yes.
They're almost begging for you to call on me because I want to stand up and be brilliant for a minute, right?
Yes, absolutely.
George is standing back to the back pretending you got to go to the bathroom if they look at him, right?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting what you brought up about the coaching, too. You think about, like, professional-level coaches. It is extremely rare that the superstar player becomes an extremely successful coach. The people that tend to be the great coaches are some that never played the game at the level that they're coaching it, or they came into that level scrapping, and they had to know more about the game. They had to learn how to maximize their limited physical potential, all those kind of things, so that the superstar is like, well, just do what I did.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and the players are seeing, if I could do what you did, that would be awesome, but I can't. And so you've got the coach then who's at a different level that understands the struggle it takes to learn the basics and show up every day and just drill the things that have to be done in order to maximize your potential. And that's kind of that leadership trap I was talking about, the superstar versus the person who says, listen, I'm going to meet you where you are. Now, I can meet the superstar where they are too, and that's mostly me getting out of the way.
Right. Exactly. I just say the 20 percenter in this analogy doesn't need a lot of coaching, probably, because
out of his way.
Just get out of the way. Okay, here's your goal: sell $1 million. Got it. Here's the tools. Here's the widgets and your samples, and here's how you order stuff. And I'm already. They're almost the mindset that, just tell me enough to go sell this stuff.
Right.
I don't want to worry about, I have to fill out paperwork later. I don't want to do that. I just want to go sell the next job. Right. And, then the other side is they want to know, like, can we spend 3 more years in training? Because I want to know it all. Right. And that's a problem, I think, with the wrong sales manager not being able to adapt to both. Is he's going to drive one of the other away, because he's going to drive the 80% away because they can't work under those intensity level, right? The 20% are just want, because you're getting in my way. You can't get in my way. I got to go on, right? Because you're just in my way every second of my life, and I don't like that. Does that seem right? Does that seem accurate?
They won't survive in that environment.
No.
So one of the things that we talk about is, it's an interesting thing, because the Pareto principle is what's called a fractal, which, don't feel bad if you don't know what that is, because I had to look it up too. And it basically, it's like a cherry pie, is that no matter how thinly you cut the pie, each slice has the same percentage of ingredients. So if you have a sales meeting with 100 salespeople, and you take the top 20%, because they don't need this, you say, hey, go play golf, go sit by the pool, and we're going to focus on the next 80. Well, that next 80 has a top 20% also. And they outsell the remainder of that room 4-1, just like the top 20 outsold the whole company 4-1. So if you think about that top 20%, the second 20%, they are so close. You know that there's almost no marginal difference between their skills, their talents, their abilities, their none of that. They're so close. So what is the differentiator? They're just not doing it consistently enough. They're not doing what they know to do consistently enough. And if you can engage that next 20% and bring them up a level, you double the revenues of a company.
Right.
That's how powerful this is.
Yeah.
And that's not to suggest that the people below are not going to make incremental gains also, but man, it can be a game changer if you just give somebody a path to victory on a daily basis that they can feel good about and want to show up the next day.
That's awesome. That's good stuff. So obviously in your book, The Consistency Chain, and I'll admit I have not read the book yet, but it's on my list now.
Well, let me just tell you this. Half of it's written by me. Half of it's written by Jim. If you want to skip the Jim parts, you can save 50% of the time.
Perfect. Maybe I'll be really confused myself. Are you specific in there so I can go back and forth and know where I'm at?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's okay, you good. Can tell. You can tell. It's
that's good.
Delineated. You can tell who wrote what.
Okay.
Well, and a lot of the misspellings are an indicator.
Yeah. Okay. We know where those are.
Yeah.
Jim spells everything wrong and George has got everything right.
Yeah.
Because you take time to look it up and Jim just writes it and goes, right?
I'm just getting on to the next page.
Well, exactly. I find myself, everything that I do, writing articles or blogs or everything, boy, if I don't like quadruple, maybe 100x it, because my mind works just way too fast. I'm more like Jim. I know what I want to say. And if I felt I said it, I want to send and go on to something else.
Oh, yes.
And I, because in the perfect world, I'd never go back and reread it, to be honest. That would be Randy's world, right? I would literally, boy, that sounds good. Oh, my God, that's brilliant. That is awesome. Send, right? That would be my perfect world. And I understand.
George researches things. He researches them. He has all the scientific backup for everything he says. And I go, well, that's fine. Just let's move on. Just keep
going. I just say, what the hell does that mean? Research. What?
Yeah, you make the point in your part of the book. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's awesome. So, guys, people can go to I assume Amazon or anywhere they want to go and get your book or books.
Amazon.
And look at that. Wes has got it up there. I love it.
And if you're in network marketing, at the bottom of our main website is a tab that takes you to our network marketing specific page that's got stuff that's designed for you.
Perfect. Well, this has been eye-opening and very interesting. I mean, I have read up on you guys. I mean, I have not read the book, I'll admit, and I read a lot, so I will be if I can figure out how to get one autographed, maybe. But anyway, maybe I know people. But I love this whole concept because I think that generally speaking, I'm a Jim, no doubt. I would, as I said, I literally would like to take an order, and if I just knew I took it, would be good for me. I mean, somebody could just if customer service could figure out, hey, Randy just sold this stuff,
right?
And it just sort of happened because I really want to go to the next thing, you know. And so that's my battle, right? Is to maintain the consistency from knowing I need to take about 12 steps back here, and let's just finish this because you're not done yet. And so I'm interested very much to reading this. So should ask questions. We got to try to finish this. What should Jim, George, either one first or together? What did we miss today that you're going, geez, I wish Randy would have shut up once and just asked this question? Is there anything we missed that's like brutally important? Or you can just do a great sign off and tell people what you want and we'll get out of here, whatever you'd like.
Jim, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the power of consistency was reminded to us through when we did a podcast with Richard Brook. He said that, do you realize if you take a penny and you double it every single day for 30 days, that at the end of 30 days, you would have $11 million in the bank. Yep. Now, if you took that same penny and you doubled it, say, every other day for 30 days, how much money would you have in the bank?
I'm not going to know the answer to that because I'd have to do some math, but.
Well, the answer is $163.
Wow.
Versus $11 million. So are you building a $163 business or $11 million business?
Go.
And that's the power of consistency.
Exactly. So, and you know, that just a thought just popped in my head that may or may not make sense. But again, I'm a 20%er, I guess. So I say stuff and then we'll figure it out later. There's a lot of compounding involved there, right? Because that's the whole, the one a day. the compounding on that, because, you know, I like to talk a lot about throwing wins on the virtual win pile, throw small wins, big wins, medium wins, and it can be health, fitness, it can be spiritual, it can be personal, it can be sales, but all wins build upon themselves, right? And they make you stronger and feel better and more motivated. And that's exactly what you're talking about there. You just keep that consistent compounding going every day.
Exactly. I mean, J. Paul Getty said, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world.
Exactly.
And people think, well, that's, he's referring to money. Yes. And there's so many other skill compounds.
Exactly.
Confidence compounds, all those things. So we talk about starting at a level that somebody like me feels easy and safe, is pleasurable. Well, as my skill and confidence compound, then easy, safe, pleasurable, we can scale that up.
Right.
Because now what used to scare me today is not going to scare me tomorrow.
No.
So this is a path. And I just want to say just this one last thing. If you feel like you're watching this, you think, I think I might be an 80%er. First of all, I'm you. I get it. I understand the frustration that comes from telling yourself you're going to do something and then not following through. And I understand the shame and the blame that we lay on ourselves. And I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yep.
There is a path out of this. There's a path to wherever you want to go. It may look a little different in the beginning than somebody like Jim, but there is a path. So take heart and take a shot on this. I mean, when I started, I didn't think it was going to work. I didn't think there's any way this would work for me. And I surprised myself, and now I want to be in the position of helping other people surprise themselves with, doggone it, I am.
That's beautiful. Well said. Well said, George. Thank you. Jim, you any parting words?
Nope, I'm fine.
Well, you are fine. We already established that earlier. But
I'm just wondering who you're going to have dinner with tonight. You're going up to Naples and meeting two people?
No, I'm in Naples now. I'm going up to Clearwater. Indian Lake, Indian something. It's a little town I never heard of before, right on the water. So
I
don't know. See something Grill. It's right on the water there. Kind of Clearwater, Largo, because we got a meeting at Clearwater in the morning. So it's right there in that area. So yeah, obviously it'll be seafood and it still probably will be Cabernet because I'm not, as we've established probably already, Dr. Pepper. I'm not necessarily a rule follower. And so I understand that if I'm having seafood, it ought to be white wine, but I don't follow that rule. I have white wine if I want white wine. And I'll have white wine with steak, or I'll have Cabernet with seafood, or I'll have what I want. So
they say you've got to have white wine with fish, but I'm like, I don't think the fish will ever know.
They're not going to know. And if they do, I'll throw them back. I don't care. I mean, but anyway, hey guys, I truly appreciate it. It's been an outstanding chat. We might even have to do this again someday. That's how good it was.
Love to. Awesome.
And we only invite certain people back. So you I think you made that first precipice.
Jim, we're gonna miss you.
all right, my friends. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye bye.
All right. Cheers. Oh man, being consistent, was that good stuff or what? You know it was. So buy their book or books and follow them online. They're all over the place. And that was some great message today. So hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. And for now, I am going to get out of here because we got some more stuff to do here at Building Wins Live. I got some more Source One marketing work to do. And I'm just going to continue loving what I do, doing what I love, taking each day, living it, loving it, owning it. And until we chat again, make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.